Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
In the words of the great Loki in Thor Ragnarok, your savior is here.
Great movie, by the
way. Welcome.
I really enjoyed that. One of the last Marvel movies that was actually good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I just threw them right under the bus.
That's a tough one.
It was.
It's my favorite.
It's pretty good.
It's my favorite.
I enjoy it.
It's my favorite.
So, Corey, we were having this conversation earlier. How many teams in the NFL right now at this moment are playing worse football than the Titans? In your mind? I can come up with about two or three.
Well, I would have said the Giants, and then they won yesterday. You know, if you want a team that's underachieving, you know, on a massive level, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Chargers were charging at their very finest.
He's going to get fired today, yesterday. I think.
With that roster, come on. How can you not win games with that roster? That he does not have the excuses that other coaches have. They have got players. That is unbelievable. Without going through the whole league, the Patriots are god awful. But I mean, if you're asking me who would I pick the Titans to beat right now, no one.
Not even the Carolina Panthers.
You know what? I will expect them to win at home because they have played better at home. But if the game were in Charlotte, I would pick the Panthers.
Isn't that just kind of a sad state of affairs of where things are right now? And then yesterday, Corey, I mean, look, it's 27-0 at one point. Titans scored two garbage time touchdowns. And as bad as this offense was last year, and it was bad, they averaged 17.5 points a game. They're at 16.8 right now, Corey. They're getting worse offensively. And it's easy to trace it directly to the offensive line, and certainly that's the biggest issue.
Yes,
but
it is.
It's amazing to me that the offense has gotten worse from last year to this year.
Well, especially when you consider that they've got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And they didn't last year. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. But last year, you know, there were still times they could run the football. They can't even run the football consistently now. And that's, you know, look, that's a hallmark in the NFL, and that's been the hallmark of this team. It is the core of where this team has started, is running the football and stopping the run. And they can't hang their hat really on anything right now. And so yesterday, I was thinking this and I saw other people saying it, and, you know, it felt like the cratering of the season. You know, this is the bottom. Now, if they lose to the Panthers, then we could say this is the bottom. But, you know, it kind of felt like, okay, season's over, all right? This is where this team is at, and you kind of begin to rebuild from here. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know about you guys. I saw exactly what I expected to see yesterday. There wasn't anything about yesterday that surprised me.
Yeah, it's right in line. I thought maybe they could be mildly competitive, but that was not the case. So we're along with, like you said, I think most people would agree, that's, we can stop talking about this is a big game. This look at the stand.
Yeah, like, no, there's
it doesn't matter.
Game.
That's all over. Right.
Yes.
So now you move to draft and all that stuff. And my goodness, I just can't wait to talk about the NFL draft for several months in a row. But also, of course, Corey, people talking about, you know, Mike Vrabel, Paul Kaharsky asked him yesterday about job status. Fans are talking about job status, court coordinators, Vrabel, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, where are you on just specifically the coaching staff and the possibility that significant changes could be ahead?
Well, I mean, I you know, look, Paul, you know, people can say whatever they want, but that question needed to be asked. It totally needed to be asked, and I commend him for asking it. You get to that point. I was there when the Titans lost 59-0, and I asked Jeff Fisher about job status that day. I also asked for a statement from the owner that day. But, you know, you get to a point, and we're at that point. They're 3-14 over the last 17. So it's fair to question, all right? We can all still think Mike Vrabel is ultimately a good football coach, a good head coach, and question. And that's, you know, where we're at. I think it's fair to question, you know, if they need to make major changes. I was one who downplayed the Jim Schwartz departure because I thought the personnel was good enough to keep performing at a high level up front on defense, it has not continued to perform at that level. And so now I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how much of an impact did Jim Schwartz have? Because I see that Cleveland defense, and I see the Titans defense. And, you know, look, there have been a lot of games where the defense hasn't been great, but it's given them a chance to win. I mean, they were only giving up like 20 points a game. Coming in. So it hasn't been awful, but we expected this unit to be dominant. And quite frankly, when you look at the money they're spending on the front and the capital they've used on that front, that group needs to be dominant, and they're not. And so I think it's fair to question that. And then, again, I think PK pointed this out. I mean, I was thinking it as well, but, you know, just thinking about other people who were talking about it, it's fair to question why no one is getting better. You know, we have seen Titan offensive lines struggle and then get better. Go back to 2019 when Lawan was suspended for the first four games and they were god-awful. I mean, they got Mariota killed. They were absolutely terrible. And they got it together and became a very, very strong unit. We saw for years, you know, where the Mike Munchak years when he was the head coach and he had Bruce Matthews as his offensive line coach, they would struggle out of the gate. Munch would get involved with the offensive line, and it would get fixed, and they would perform. And so we've seen offensive lines get better. So I think I said this last night. There is one thing to lack talent, which we all agree they probably do. But there's another not to improve. And, you know, and injuries or not, we're not seeing improvement. And that, I believe, is fair to question.
So, Corey, I saw you tweet this yesterday. Should they be making a call after this year to Mike Munchak and see if he'll come coach the offensive line?
Well, if I was Mike Vrabel, I shouldn't say Mike Vrabel. If I was any head coach in the NFL and I was taking over a team, that would be my first call every time, would be to ask Mike Munchak to run my offensive line. Finest offensive line coach that I've worked with, and that would be always be the first call I would make. And, look, if I were this team, I would get the blank sheet of paper out and I would say, what would it take for you to come back and run this offensive line? We'll give you this much money. We'll call you the assistant head coach. We'll even give you a big say in the room on offensive linemen in the draft. But that's me. That's not like anything I know. That's just what I would do. Because to me, it's not time to take a shot on somebody that we might believe in. You need somebody who can come in and fix this. And that guy fixes offensive lines. I don't know if he wants to coach anymore. The last time I talked to him, he was very happy being a grandfather. But he's been away for a few years. And maybe the thought of coming back here and kind of resurrecting himself here, you know, would be appealing to him. I don't know. It's a call worth making. I texted him. He never answers texts.
Well, you know, obviously – you know him well. He has a great track record, and I have no idea if he'd be interested. But that spot in particular, Corey, is where I do look like probably the most curious thing about the offseason is the, you know, you fire the offensive line coach and then you promote his assistant to take over. You know, it's just such a bizarre, like, what are you saying with that move?
Well, I know Vrabel talked about
the greatest interview ever, but, you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think it was a clash of personalities. You know, there was a thought of too much negativity, and they really, like you said, liked the person, and they thought that, you know, becoming connected on a personal level would help these guys improve. They're not improving. And – you know, so you got to ask why. Are they that bad where it's impossible for them to improve? Because, like, look, we've seen Lions struggle. We just see, like, collapses of the pocket. I mean, just flat out misses. Guys just flat out miss. And you obviously can't have that. And, you know, look, the coach Hodling, you know, might be great one day. I don't know. And maybe it's not his fault. But all I can do is look at the product. And every week the product looks the same. And that's a problem. When the product is bad and it looks the same every week, that's a problem.
Corey, last thing for you here. Who you got in the game of the year tonight, Eagles and Chiefs on Monday Night Football?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the NHL. No.
Who you got in that one, too?
No, I don't. It's the Ryan Johansson revenge game. So, of course, he's going to come in and get a hat trick and say, you know, this is the way I played every night.
That's right.
I have to go with the Eagles. I have said it all year, and I will continue to say it. The Chiefs' defense is fantastic. Andy Reid is one of my absolute favorite head coaches of all time, and if I could have anybody to coach my team right now, it would be him. Patrick Mahomes is amazing. He doesn't have the weapons that he used to. He's got Travis Kelce, and that's about it. And if I were a defense, I would smother Travis Kelce with 900 people and make the rest of those randos beat me. And I think that's what the Eagles will do. The Eagles have weapons all over the field, and I expect the Eagles to win.
Corey, great stuff. Appreciate, as always, you taking time to be with us. And how about those Chicago Bears yesterday? Nice collapse by them.
It was absolutely unbelievable. You know what? It's amazing because, you know, we're still having the Justin Fields conversations. And, you know, you can like Justin Fields and still acknowledge that Caleb Williams is a generational quarterback and you have to take him. There is no question about it. And by the way, speaking of that, there are about 3 million fans in Chicago right now who are huge Titan fans.
Yes. No question about that. Corey, appreciate you as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Happy Thanksgiving, and the Packers still stink.
Thank you very much. Big game from Jordan Love yesterday.
And they play on Thanksgiving.
They do. A nice matchup between my Green Bay Packers and Joe Rexroad's beloved Detroit Lions, who he's growing fonder of each week.
Mm-hmm. No, I hate them even more.
We'll get into the Titans and Jags, react to what Corey had to say there. Interesting thoughts on the Munchak part of that. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.